is Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are live from K-Bob's Grill and Ale, where we've got a pair of Game 5 tickets for you to stop by and register to win. Of course, K-Bob's out here in the Vanderbilt area, located at Hillsborough Village, right across the street from Vandy, 1602 21st Avenue South. K-Bob's has 3 to 4 new beers each day and rotates through as many as 450 a year. This is like going to Floyd's house. It is simply delicious. K-Bob's Grill and Ale. Again, a pair of Game 5 tickets can be yours. Just stop by and register to win. Game 5 tomorrow night, Floyd Reese. And
tomorrow day.
Tomorrow day. You're right. 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Tomorrow day, 2 o'clock. Now, something interesting that I want to get to about this game, and I feel like you can't really quantify this, but outside of game one at the very beginning and parts of game two, at no point in this series has it felt to me like the Predators have controlled the flow of the game. It feels like they've always been kind of on their heels. You know, Dallas is bringing the pressure. Dallas is moving the puck however they want to move it. Preds can't get it through the zone. It just feels like that's what it's been like this whole series. And I feel like at this point, the Predators have got to put their foot down and say, okay, they've got to control the game tomorrow night. And again, you can't quantify that as a stat. I don't think shots on net or scoring attempts quantifies that as a stat, because the Predators had way more scoring opportunities in game four than Dallas did. They had more shots in game four than Dallas did, but they never controlled the game. And I feel like really other than that first period of game one and parts of game two, they have not controlled the game in this series. Do you think they can start tomorrow and control the game and thus try to control the series?
I think game two, I would agree with you. I think the Preds dominated the game. The first period of game one, I thought was pretty even. I mean, it was kind of balanced.
I thought that game two was more balancing game than the first period of game one.
It was 0-0 at the end of game one, right?
No. It was 1-0 Preds. Yossi had that really, you know, incredible goal or whatever.
Maybe I mixed the two up. But anyway, I thought there have been very, very few periods where you would look at the Preds and say, okay, they controlled that period. They controlled the tempo. They controlled. Now, game two, I don't think there's any doubt but they controlled. But then the rest of them, I mean, as much as they controlled in some areas, they have completely lost control for the same amount of time in another game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where they had zero control. And so I don't – that's the part that is bewildering to me. And I don't know if that's emotion. I don't know if that's play style. I don't know if that's matchups. I don't know what it is. But it seems to me – I mean, the answer for both clubs appears to be – to me, I mean, you get in the neutral zone, you don't let them cross the neutral zone, that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked on both teams.
That's how you beat Winnipeg, too, and that's how Winnipeg beat you.
And so, you know, you look at that and you go, okay, then, you know, we're both trying to do the same thing. Who can do it better?
The difference between you and them, though, is when they get into your end, they can pass the puck to one another and not panic. And then, like, with the Preds, it's like if they make one pass, the guy's got to shoot it. Or else, by the time they try to make a second pass, Dallas will intercept
all over them. Yeah.
Or they'll make a pass thinking that a guy is one place and the guy is nowhere to be found. Dallas and Winnipeg, when you're playing Winnipeg, they are so good at this. And I watched Winnipeg-St. Louis to see, like, was I, you know, over-analyzing the Preds' inability to pass within the zone. And I watched Winnipeg and St. Louis last night, and they passed within the zone. Now, they got sticks down, and they were not just letting you pass the puck. But with the Predators, it's like, you know, they try to, you know, send it along the boards to one end. One guy makes it, then he throws it to the guy behind the net. And by the time that that's over with, there's no more passes to be made.
Yeah.
I mean, Granlund the other day said he shot it and scored only because he couldn't make a pass.
Nobody to pass it to.
And so I just feel like I can't quantify this, but they have got to control the game tomorrow. They have got to take control of the game for the first time really in the series where you feel like they're in control of it. Another thing, Patrick Sharp on NBC, who I think is doing a really good job, former Blackhawk, former Dallas Star. Patrick Sharp was on the Midday Show. And Patrick Sharp was talking about the offense of the Predators and ask the question I think that most of us have kind of been wondering, too. This is what Patrick Sharp said.
One thing that stands out to me, and I'm sure you guys have touched on it all season long, is that I don't know where the goals went for the Nashville Predators. I mean, they got some of the best talent offensively in the league, and they can't get that power play going. That's been a definite issue. I feel like this is a series that, you know, most likely will come down to a goal or two, most likely go seven games. And I don't think you can read too much into last game's, you know, lopsided score. That kind of happens. The penalties definitely played an issue early on in that one, but this one's too close to call.
So he goes, where's the goals? Where are the goals going? And I'm like, you know what? He's right. Now, I don't think they have the most offensive talent in the league. I mean, I don't even think they have as much offensive talent as Dallas. But where are the goals going?
Well, I mean, for us, it's the players are disappearing. The players, that who scores the goals for the Preds?
Arvidsson, Forsberg,
and now
the defenseman.
How are they doing?
Well, right now, Yossi and Rocco Grimaldi lead your team with two.
There you go. So what's that thing? Grimaldi's not even going to play him Saturday.
No, he'll play.
Oh, is he?
He just didn't practice.
Oh, okay. Well, so, I mean, that's where you are. You got a fourth-line guy and, you know.
A defenseman.
Defenseman that are leading your team. And, well, I mean, you're not going to score many goals if that's the case.
Well, it's like we had Hal Gill on the other day, and Hal was like, and I talked about, you know, just getting random goals from random dudes, and it's about Granlund and Smith having game winners, and he was like, those are second-line guys. And I'm like, well, second line in title only. I mean, they're not actually second line guys. And so I agree with what Patrick Sharp said there. Where have the goals gone? And they're going to have to find that. I mean, again, the winner of game five, when it's tied 2-2, wins 79% of the time. That is a fact. I feel strongly with Floyd, the winner of tomorrow's game is going to win the series. Let's go to some quick phones before we get Corey Curtis from News 2 join us here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Again, we are live at K-Bob's Grill and Ale. Thomas is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was reading about Wayne Gretzky. I believe he scored 92 goals one year. That's pretty good, ain't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, he said the way he scored, he said he would go behind the net, and if they didn't come after him, he would just wheel around and put the puck in the net, score. And he said if they came after him, he would just shoot out to one of his teammates and let them score. So I thought I'd call and tell you that, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
Okay,
thank you,
Thomas. I don't even know what he said.
He said he'd get behind the net, and if they didn't come and get him, he'd just wrap it around and put it in the net. And if they did come after him, he'd pass it out and let somebody else do it.
Well, I'm just saying it'd be very convenient if the Predators had Wayne Gretzky. Unfortunately, they do not. And if they had Wayne Gretzky, we probably would not be asking about where are all the goals going to come from.
I wonder if he, and this just dawned, I mean, if he was playing today, you think he'd have the same number of goals? You think he'd be able to score as just effectively as it was then?
I don't know. Do you think every player out there now is infinitely worse than Wayne Gretzky? Probably not. I mean, it's like you talk to these old-time baseball people, and they're like, Walter Johnson threw the hardest fastball in the history of baseball. The big train, they called him. And I think they took, like, some video, and they, like, you know, some scientist or some mathematician, like, added it up. Walter Johnson's fastball was, like, 92 miles an hour. You know, now everybody's throwing 99, 102,
Know,
so.
That's why I wonder if
like
you'd
the defenseman.
If the game had changed enough because of whatever reason, speed of the skaters or the quality of the skaters or the quality of the players or.
Salary cap.
That, any of that stuff that would have prevented that from happening in today's era.
Okay, enough Wayne Gretzky talk. I can't, you know what I mean. Coming up next, Corey Curtis, News 2. He was in Dallas with the Predators. He is obviously back. His thoughts on Game 5. Does he think the Preds have it in them? I think that's kind of the question that we really have to ask ourselves. Do we think this team has it in them? We'll discuss that next. Jared and the GM, we are live out here at K-Bob's Grill and Ale out here on 21st Avenue South on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We have two lower-level tickets you can win for game number 5. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102 by The Game and streaming on the Gabe Nashville app.
Here to have Wayne and Brian on the ice 4 days after being deemed week to week, was it fair to say that they're ahead of schedule?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to see them out there. And then, you know, with regard to Brian, that's just modern medicine. That's incredible. You know, I had my appendix out when I was in high school, and you're literally out for months and months. Like, that was a long time ago. But, you know, now as somebody being able to be back and play in less than a week is unbelievable. So he looked really good out there today. Wayne, the same thing. You know, when it first happened, we were thinking that it might be that long, and it's never an exact science, but they're both out there, and they look good. So I haven't talked to the trainer yet, but God bless you. Haven't talked to the trainer yet, but we'll get a plan in here.
Okay, there you go. Peter Laviolette on Wayne Simmonds and Brian Boyle both returning to practice. Sounds like Boyle had the appendix at the level, Floyd, that you were talking about. You know, where they just kind of scope it out of there and they don't even cut you open in order to get it out. If he's going to be on the ice 5 days later or whatever it is.
Yeah, we in the NFL, like I said, I've seen guys go in on Monday and play on Sunday. You know, if they get it early like that, where they just scope it because the incision is, you know, what, a half inch long maybe. And they suck it right out of there and you're off and running.
If those two guys can play, I wonder who comes out of the lineup. Surely Turris would be the first person that would come out of the lineup. The question is, who's the second person who would come out of the lineup? Because it can't be Grimaldi. Grimaldi is not – well, I guess Salamaki and Turris would come out of the lineup, and that would be probably what they do. Corey Curtis from News 2 was in Dallas for the third and the fourth game. Corey, Floyd believes the winner of this game wins the series. I believe the Predators have got to play better than they've played all series long. How do you feel about Game 5?
Well, I mean, they've been outplayed three or four games in the series, so they've got to step it up. I mean, they've been outskated. They've struggled to hold on to the puck. They haven't had near as much urgency. They haven't been near as physical. They've got a lot of areas to catch up in.
Why? We know this team's good, and Dallas in the regular season, you know, Dallas is a nice team, but I don't think Dallas is great. Why have the Preds struggled so much, especially in games 3 and 4 in Dallas?
This is the same team we've seen for 3 months. So I don't think it should surprise anyone that we've called for urgency for months now and we didn't see it and we aren't seeing it now. As they're playing for the Central Division title, they fall behind 2-0 to the Blackhawks in Vancouver. I mean, and we're like, what is happening? Well, the same thing is happening. You know, I know Lavi tried to paint a pretty picture as to what happened, how they fell behind 4-0 in that game. They fell behind 4-0 in that game because they were undisciplined and they got it taken to them. And, you know, the power play still stinks. And the one thing that has been good is the penalty kill. And the moment that let down, they got buried.
Ooh. What? That got ugly real fast.
Yeah.
The penalty kill
I mean,
let down.
That Zuccarello had was ridiculous. I mean, I knew that was a goal before he even shot it. I was like, "How on?" That was a layup.
What do you make? One of the things that we have been kind of able to count on for a period of time, if we were going to get scoring, it was going to be out of that first line. And now that is even struggling. Are they doing? Do you see them doing anything different or unique or to slow, you know, the Arvies and the Forsbergs down at all?
Well, they've done to the Preds what the Preds did to the Blackhawks a couple of years ago. They've completely bottled up the slot. I mean, I think the Preds have one goal from the slot in the entire series, and that was the Yossi goal in Game 2. I mean, the amount of times that they actually have a shot from the slot is ridiculously low. They've completely bottled it up and given the Preds no opportunity to do anything in there. I mean, there's just no space. And so those guys are looking for space, and they're just not finding it.
2 out of 3 to go in this series. How do you see it going?
You know, I'd like to say I think they'll do it. But as I've said, hope is not a strategy, and hoping that they get it together is not a strategy. And so I look for the Dallas in 7 right now, but, I mean, they can certainly win it, but not the way that they're going.
What do you make of Corey Curtis from News 2 is with us? What do you make of the fact that they just felt like they didn't show up in Game 4? I mean, this
is
Game 4
of the playoffs. It's what we were all saying to each other all game long. How do you explain not showing up? I mean, this was a huge opportunity. You win this game, and all you got to do is win one out of two at home to advance. And it's a complete no-show. And it's mind-boggling. And, you know, for years, we saw Predator teams, you know, overmatched Predator teams, scrap and fight and have just more desperation and more urgency. And there's something missing with this team where that urgency is not there.
Is that, we've talked time and time again about the number of quality, mature, long-time leaders that have left this team in the last year or two. Can you, in any way, shape, or form, kind of direct, I mean, is that part of the consequence?
Well, I mean, you know, Mike Fisher is gone. He was a big part of it. But, I mean, Roman Yossi's been here a while. Ryan Ellis has been here a while. Forsberg has been here a while. Pecorine has been here a while. And then you trade for Boyle and Freeman. You know, they're quality guys. I scratch my head. There's plenty of experience there. There's plenty of playoff experience there. I don't know why the hunger button can't get pushed. It's not like this team is sitting on three Stanley Cups. They're sitting on none. They're sitting on none.
Mm. Corey Curtis, News 2. What do you think the difference in the next three games is going to be? What does your gut tell you is going to matter the most over the next three games between the Preds and the Stars?
Same thing that mattered the first four games. Who wants it more? Because if the Preds want it more, they've got more talent and they're going to win the game. That's it.
Mm.
But they haven't played that way to this point. You know, they've been slower to the puck. I mean, that's all there is. And the amount of times I've watched them mishandle the puck or fail to get it through past the blue line down into the deep end of the ice, you know, I didn't know if it was just an ice problem, but Dallas isn't having that same problem.
Mm-hmm. When you were in the locker room after game four, we played some of the clips of some of the stuff that we had, but neither of us were in there. But it felt to me, Corey, kind of like the players were just kind of arrogant about it a little bit, like don't come to us with questions. We know we're fine. Don't bother us kind of thing after they didn't show up in game four. You were in that locker room. Did you sense that kind of attitude when you were in there after the loss?
Well, listen, you know, they got outplayed in game three and won because Pekka was phenomenal. And there was some attitude we got after that game when we questioned about being outplayed. And, you know, look, Roman Yossi straight up said, I'm angry, we're all angry. You know, Nick Modino said, I'm going to give you the standard hockey answer. We got done here what we needed to do, and that's win one out of two. And so maybe that's the answer. Maybe they got that win, and they just checked their bags and said, let's go back to Nashville. I think that's flawed, but that's the only answer that I can come up with. I don't think they were happy, but I don't think they want to be questioned by us about it. I don't think they think we know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Corey Curtis, News 2 with us, Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your Fireball Hot Take this week, Corey?
The NFL draft is coming, and it's like Christmas, guys. I can't wait. I mean, and not just because it's in Nashville. I mean, the older I get and the more I get into it, I'm a nerd. I love the draft. And there's so many different ways this thing can go this year. I love watching, not for them, but for me, I love watching good players fall because it's always amazing to me how good of a player can be available at, say, 19. You remember O.J. Howard? We couldn't believe he was there when the Titans were picking. And I'm just waiting to see who there is at 19 that I can't believe is there.
Mm. Corey Curtis from News 2, as always. Corey, we appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, thanks, gang. Enjoy.
We'll see you, Corey Curtis, back from Dallas. I wonder where he's going to be stationed on Thursday and Friday of next week.
Oh, I would imagine that show is going to go hours and hours.
Well, where are they going to put these people, though? I mean, it's going to be so packed downtown. Like, is there going to be a media area for the TV cameras to be and stuff like that? Or is the NFL just saying, knock yourselves out? You guys have a grand time out there.
No, there'll be a media area, I'm sure. It's probably going to be in Symphony Hall there. I'm just guessing.
Somewhere around there for sure.
Yeah.
We will be out on the Bridgestone Arena Plaza for the big plaza party where we will have draft night in Nashville, where we will be breaking it down. Jared Floyd, Derek Mason, we will have you taken care of. Come on out and join us downtown on the plaza at Bridgestone Arena. We will have tons of stuff going on. So that's where we will be next week. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Boy, Corey did not sound too up on the Predators now, did he?
Not real positive.
I mean, he was.
Corey has.
You think we get on him? I mean, Corey.
Corey has seen it. He's kind of fed up with all that.
I mean, he was not. So.
He was kind of like the fan that just called a few minutes ago.
Oh, the fan that wants to dump his season tickets?
He's ready to quit.
Coming up next. Ooh, a hot take. A hot take from the Dallas coach. We will get to that. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app live out at K-Bob's Grill and Ale. Again, a pair of Game 5 tickets can be yours. Just come on out and register to win. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think statistically it would basically say that they've been the better team in three of the four games to this point. How do you change that in the final three?
Be the better team. We'll be the better team these next three.
Okay, Ryan Johansson says they'll be the better team, so I'm going to take him at his word. But if they're not, I should be allowed to blame him, right?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want to.
Jared and the GM live out at K-Bob's Grill and Ale. Again, come on out. We've got a pair of Game 5 tickets for you to register and win. So, you ready for a hot take on Fireball Hot Take Friday?
Okay.
It comes via the Dallas coach, Jim Montgomery. Now, remember, Jim Montgomery is a rookie coach who was coaching in college, who is now coaching the Dallas Stars. Now, before we get to his hot take, because it was a hot take, let me just say this. I think Jim Montgomery, I have been very impressed with his coaching so far in this series. I mean, he really has gotten on the attack.
Yeah.
And he really, I mean, loads it up against your guys that aren't that good, and I have to give him a lot of credit. Now, that being said, this is a hot take. He was talking to a local Dallas radio station, which I was funny because I was listening to the Midday Show talk about this, and they were like, maybe they have like a weekly interview with the coach or something like that. I'm thinking to myself that, now this is just my take, the Dallas Stars coach probably will do any radio interview that anybody in Dallas asks him to do, only because, you know, how much air time do the Dallas Stars get in Dallas?
Yeah.
And so, anywho, he was doing an interview on their flagship station, and he was talking about Roope Hintz, who had two goals the other night, whose name is very fun to say, Roope Hintz. And he was talking about Roope Hintz, and this is what he said. This was his take.
Roope Hintz, he's only 22 years old. He's not much older than Heiskanen is. And, man, he is bringing it big time. And you talk about a guy that just seizing the moment and showing that he belongs and can control a game. It's pretty nice stuff.
Well, I mean, you can see fear in their defenseman's eyes every time he gets on the ice, even off a faceoff. You're looking at him, and you can see whatever side of the ice he's on, they're backing up because they're like, there's no way I'm going to let him beat me to our net. But when they back up like that, that gives him the ability to cut in front of them and beat him through the middle of the ice. And he's just a big horse, you know. He's got incredible speed and power, and right now his confidence is sky high, and it's been like that for 6 weeks to 2 months.
Man, that's a hot take. Their defenseman, you can see the fear in their defenseman's eyes when he takes the ice, talking about Roope Hintz. First of all, just from that question, I can tell how much they talk about hockey on the radio in Dallas, which is like nothing. But he's sitting there saying, Roope Hintz, when he gets on the ice, you can see the fear in those defensemen's eyes. That's a hot take. Surely that's something that's going to get back to the Predators.
Well, yeah, but he was saying because of his speed.
I know, but still. Oh. Still, the way I look at it is I look at it like he's doing that on purpose. He's saying that because he thinks that, and this goes back to when he said after they lost Game 3, we've been the better team this series. He is basically challenging the Predators at every opportunity that he gets in the press. He challenges the Predators. I think that he thinks that he can get them to fold. And so far, the results, I think, kind of lean in his favor right there. So if he can go out to the press and say, we're the better team after three games, doesn't matter. And then they go out there and they beat the Preds' brains in Game 4. I probably, if I was him, would dial up some more stuff to say that, you know, will get back to him. And to me, that is, I mean, I think you're playing with fire if you're a coach and you say things like that, because if you get the wrong team and you fire them up, they'll go out there and they'll beat your brains in and you'll wish you never said anything. And then there's other teams who you say that kind of stuff to, like Jacksonville. You know, you say those things to the Jags and they self-implode because of trash talk. So I think that Jim Montgomery thinks he can talk to himself into the Preds' heads, and I wouldn't bet against it.
Yeah, I didn't interpret it that way. I thought he was just saying, this is like if you're coaching
Derrick Henry,
whoever the fastest guy in the league is.
Okay.
And you say, yeah, when he lines up out there, the corners just back up a little bit because of, well, yeah. And that's true. I mean, that was the impression that I got. Was he was saying, because he is a big hoss and he's so fast that he can skate right by you. And the Preds may be going, yeah, that's right. But that's just my interpretation.
Oh, I think he used the word fear for
he did.
A reason.
Fear,
I
mean, he feared his speed.
No, I think he used fear in the sense that those guys don't think that they can play with him. That he's so big and so fast that little Ryan Ellis sees him coming out on the ice and his eyes get big because he knows he can't play with Rope Hintz. I think Jim Montgomery did that on purpose. And, I mean, I heard the midday show today. Darren was like that he would just play that clip over and over again to the Predators if he was coaching them. And my whole take on that is, do you think that the trash talk makes the Predators better? Do you think that that would fire them up to hear somebody say something like that? And I'm going to tell you, I don't think it will. I don't think this team has the type of attitude of the teams that you don't trash talk. We were talking about Tom Brady. Von Miller has come out and said the one guy you never trash talk in the NFL is you do not trash talk Tom Brady. Because right. The second you trash talk Tom Brady, he's coming right at you. And I feel like, you know, the ultimate competitors feed off of that kind of stuff. I'm not sure the Predators, this group, 2 years ago, yes, this group, I'm not sure they've shown me they're the ultimate competitors out there. And I think Jim Montgomery is trying to poke that bear to see if he can kind of get them to fold a little bit, maybe under the trash talk pressure. I'm surprised Jim Montgomery hasn't said more pointed things about the Predators and come out and kind of really poked it after what he said in Game 3, which was, we're the better team. I'm surprised he hasn't said more to try and poke that bear.
Yeah, I mean, if you jump up and say we're the better team for three games, I mean, you can't say much more than that. And especially when you go out and kick their butt in the fourth game. I mean, now he's saying, hey, I told you, we're the better team. I mean, if the Preds can't respond to that, we're the best team after three, and then go out and lay an egg in the fourth, when, you know, you would think if they were going to be riled up, it'd be after that one. You know, after we're the best team. Oh, wait a minute now. This thing's not over with.
But does this team give you any reason to believe that they'll get fired up when they haven't really gotten fired up about anything so far?
Yeah, no. I mean, if you're not getting fired up over we're the best team, then you're not getting fired up over what a coach is going to say. You know, that would be my take.
Do you worry that the trash talking could lead them to maybe self-imploding a little bit, that they could crack under that kind of pressure? I do feel like there are some guys on the team right now who are cracking under the pressure.
I don't. This team is so hard to figure out. I mean, I can't. Is it pressure that's keeping Arvidsson from scoring? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it Arvy, the pressure Arvy's putting on himself? Is it the pressure the defense is putting on Arvy? Is it the pressure that Peter's putting on Arvy? I don't know. But I know it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we certainly need it. And I don't know, you know, the reason, the cause and effect part of it. And until you get that down, then you know what? You're not going to solve the problem.
Well, here's the issue is that we can dog on the Predators all we want for 4 hours a day. And then the Predators, because, you know, not just because we dog on them, but we'll dog on them for 4 hours. They'll go out there and they'll go out and win 3-1. And then everybody will be happy. And everybody will think this team's going to the cup. And then they'll go get beat 5-1.
Well, I mean, our response to what they do doesn't help them. You know. They win, we're happy.
Hey.
They lose, we hate them. I mean, there's nothing level about, And by we, I mean sports talk,
and the fans,
talk shows.
And the,
yeah.
The callers.
We exacerbate what their problem is, which is that, you know, hey, we're going to really, oh, God, they're going to hate us today. You know, hey, they'll love us today. Oh, they'll hate us today. And I think that inconsistency, we just kind of play along with them, and it feeds into them a little bit. You know, no, I'm not blaming us for the way they're playing. I'm not saying that at all.
Well, I think what you're saying is that if they win, we should still be hard on them on Monday.
Well, no, we just should be pretty low. Okay,
nice
win. That's a nice win, and, you know, way to go, guys. Now you got to do it three more times.
We were pretty hard on them after Game 3, though. I mean, we were... I don't know how you could have watched Game 3 and felt good other than the fact that you won the game.
I'm sure you had.
You know,
I don't know. Well, I shouldn't say that. As long as you got Pekka, you got a chance at a game like that. But without Pekka, or if Pekka's not playing the way he did that night, I mean, there's no chance you win that game.
No chance. Let's go right back to your phone. 615-737-1025. We'll go right back to him next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. 615-737-1025. Plus, I think Peter Laviolette does have a job to do, and it's hard to judge the job the coach is doing. There is one thing that I am holding him accountable for tomorrow. So I'll get to that, and then your phones, as we are live on this Fireball Hot Take Friday at K-Bob's Grill and Ale, located in Hillsborough Village, across from Vanderbilt University, 1602 21st Avenue South. Again, 2-for-1 drafts all day on Saturday. They have a rotating beer special of the day. It's simply delicious, and we've got 2 lower-level tickets for Game 5. You can come on out here and register to win. I got a call today from my dad, who gave me a call today. He's talking about, you know, his HVAC. He said, what should I do? I said, you got to call Hiller. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's right. Hiller, they are the best. That's why I use them at my new home, and I'm telling everybody out there to use them at your home. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. They are proud partners of the Nashville Predators. You will see that Happy Hiller logo right there on the ice tomorrow. It'll be right there on NBC. That's how big of a deal Hiller is, and that's how big of partners they are with the Nashville Predators. They offer true transparency pricing. So when someone comes out to your house, you get exactly what you're paying for, and they tell you why. See, the other guys, sometimes they may just come out and say, that'll be $8,000. Not Hiller. They've got true transparency pricing. They also have a free second opinion. So if the other guys are coming out and they're going to give you a quote on a, you know, HVAC unit, major plumbing work, Hiller will come on out, and they will give you a second opinion for free. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, proud partners of the Nashville Predators. That's Jared Stillman and Hiller, as we are live from K-Bob's Grill and Ale. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Mace, the Predators' penalty kill, had kept their team in the last two games, going 10-for-10 in the Predators' two wins and escaping some really dangerous situations, but not tonight.
Not tonight. And, you know, if you continue to do that and put yourself in those situations and let those guys, you know, have opportunity after opportunity, eventually they're going to make you pay. They've got enough talent on that lineup, and you didn't limit their opportunities. 4 penalties in the first period, that was game, set, match right there. So the Preds got to find a way. They got to stay out of the box.
Okay, so I've decided. That was C. Mace after the game the other day. C. Mace going to join us in about an hour. I am convinced that if they don't stay out of the penalty box in the rest of this series, I am blaming the coach for that. I am literally looking squarely. I don't care who gets him. I don't care if Ekholm picks up every penalty the rest of the way, because Lord knows that guy can't stay out of the box right now. But I am putting the penalties on the coach. I'm done with talking about them. I'm done with talking about the validity of some of the calls, because some of the calls have been bad. I'm done with all of that. If they go to the box too many times tomorrow and they lose because they go to the box too much tomorrow, I'm blaming the coach. And I feel like that we can blame the coach for. Before it gets into, you know, is it Laviolette's fault? Is it the player's fault? Is it that guy's fault? Is it this guy's fault? Is it the penalties? I think at this point we can hold Peter fully responsible for. Is that fair or not fair?
Well, I mean, I've said this before, and again, I don't understand the hockey world and how all that works. In every sport I've ever participated in, the head coach is responsible for every single thing. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you have penalties, it's the head coach's fault. If you have a player that doesn't play good, it's the head coach's fault. If you have whatever, it's the head coach's fault. He's the big dog. He's the ultimate decision maker. He's the guy that determines the offense, the defense, the special teams, when you kick, when you don't kick, when you call a timeout, when you don't call it, they are everything. Mm-hmm. And consequently, they get paid the big bucks and they get the responsibility, you know? So, but I don't know how it works in hockey. I don't know. You know, it's obviously different.
Well, like, if Ekholm's going to pick up a bunch of dumb penalties, Ekholm's going to get blamed for picking up a bunch of dumb penalties. But if Ekholm can't stop taking dumb penalties that cost you games, then the coach has, you know, a choice to take Ekholm out of the game. You know, I mean, it goes back to the coaching it or you're allowing it to happen kind of thing. And I'm just tired of the whole, like, you know, why'd you lose the other day? Well, you know, we were behind the eight ball. You know, we got five penalties right off the bat. Well, whose fault's that, Peter? You know, Ekholm's only gotten 15 stupid penalties in this series. I mean, at some point, you know, 16 may cost you the series. So how about you stop it before you get to 16? I don't care. Whatever. There will be no excuses. If they go to the box too much, it is the coach's fault. That is the one thing that I am putting my foot down today, and I'm saying that will be the coach's fault if they can't stay out of the box. Because it's not like their power play, which is also probably his fault, it's not like their power play can bail them out if they take too many penalties and give up too many goals. So with that, let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Michael is up next. He has a hot take on Peter Laviolette. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Michael.
Guys, it's perfect timing you said that. And I'll preface this by saying hockey is different than every other sport, just like Floyd said, where successful coaches get fired and replaced all the time because they just can't win in the playoffs. This is year number five for Laviolette here. His two previous stops, both where he was extremely successful, he lasted 5 years. One of them he won a cup at. Both times he was really, really good. He's already changed his coaching style compared to the first couple of years since he's gotten here. The team has improved since the first couple of years he's gotten here. And he coaches completely different, which I think is a reflection of a little bit of what you guys are talking about right now. And I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people because they've had a lot of success, but what happened to the Capitals when they replaced their coach and brought in Barry Trotz of all people? Championship.
I don't know the take you're trying to make. Do you want to fire Laviolette?
It might be time to replace Laviolette, exactly.
Okay, so I appreciate your call. This is gonna really pick up the narrative that Peter The narrative that Peter has a shelf life is going to be a really big deal, I believe. If they lose this series, everyone's going to bring that up. You know, Laviolette only made it 5 years in Carolina, only 5 years in Philadelphia, and, you know, it looks like only 5 years here. And I just don't believe that, like, because I think Laviolette's a really good coach, and I think you could get a lot of really bad coaches. So I guess I don't buy that narrative of thinking. I'm just telling you that's what's going to happen if they lose this series. I mean, that guy was talking about, you know, Washington brought in Barry Trotz, and look, they won the championship. And then they got rid of him. I mean, they hated Barry Trotz, not the fans. The fans loved him, but the ownership and the GM hated him. They couldn't get rid of him fast enough. I mean, have you ever seen a coach win a championship and then essentially get fired?
Not. I mean, I've seen him get fired the next year.
But, like, but literally win it, literally, and then a month later, it's like, no, go to a competitor of
days ours. After we're going to fire you? No, I don't think I've ever seen that.
So, I mean, you can break that down however you want to break it. Couple things. Number one, they're not firing Laviolette. So if they lose this series, for all the people that will call and will say exactly what that caller just said, they're not going to fire Laviolette. Two, they haven't lost this series. I mean, as crazy as some of the calls we've taken the last couple days are, and as down as some of the people like Corey Curtis are on the team, they haven't lost a series yet.
Well, the scary thing is that we're really, really worried about this series against the lesser of all evils.
Right.
So where do you go from here?
With Dallas?
No, with whoever you play next. Say you're lucky enough to win it.
I just think all those series are so different between one another.
Maybe.
You know, you're just so different from series to series, and things change. And
I hope.
You know, like, I just doesn't – that's why I just never put too much stock in going from one series to the next. And I use the example of Washington last year. I mean, they were down 0-2 to start theirs. They came back and won that series in six games. You can win this series in six games. They went on to win the cup. I mean, I don't put too much stock. And, well, you know, you got past Dallas barely, and then, you know, you beat St. Louis. It's like Columbus just beat Tampa. Do we think Columbus is going to go sweep the next series? I don't. But Tampa's the best team in the league. So, I think things change series to series, and I just don't buy too much into that. Let's go to Brenda, who's up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What you got, Brenda?
Hey, Jared and DM, thanks for taking my call. I just have a challenge for the fans coming to the game tomorrow. I would like to hear them be as loud as they were 2 years ago. Just be loud. Be supportive. I'm not going to be able to be there, but I sure like to hear it on TV. It comes across really well. Get behind the guys. Give them what they need. Push them. Give them something to go for. It's tough. It's another game. But they're not out. Just give them what they need and push them. Thank you.
You got it, Brenda. I'm not sure the fans are the problem here.
Brenda, no. But Brenda is a great fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, she every game is up, ready to go. I mean, she's what pro sports are all about. Sports in general.
Let's go to Vinny, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What you got, Vinny?
Hey, 2 points, Jared. The first thing is I'd like to say something about Ekholm. I'd like to say that I know two of the penalties were really, really bad penalties. And I mean bad meaning referee calls. This is the playoffs. One of the calls was him entering, knocking a defenseman down, or I should say knocking the guy with the puck down as he's coming into the blue zone after the guy released the puck. They do it all the time. That was one. The second one was just the other night where started off the game, and that's where the Preds went downhill. It was a high stick. The guy came into Ekholm in the corner with his stick already up. Did it hit him? Absolutely. But the guy came into Ekholm. Okay, so that's my point on Ekholm, because I'm just sorry. I don't think he deserves the rap that he's getting right now. He's too good of a guy, and I just haven't seen him playing bad. Those two penalties were lousy. The second point, Trot. I beg to differ with you on the fact of why they got rid of him. If you remember last year during the season, the Capitals were not right up there at the top of the league, and they were threatening Trot with the fact that, okay, listen, if you don't make it to the cup, to the finals this year, there was word that they were going to let him go. So he came and he won the cup and he let go. They didn't get rid of Trot.
They offered him $1 million a year.
Yeah, but Trotz wasn't going to put up with that type of attitude.
That's not the going rate. That is not the going rate for a coach in this league anymore.
But he wasn't going to put up with that type of attitude the way that they treated him. Trotz is an excellent coach. Just look what he's doing with the Islanders. Look what he did with
the Preds. I don't disagree with you on that. But if somebody's going to offer you – thank you for your call, Vinny. Floyd, if someone's going to offer you $4 million a year after you won the championship – and the people that you won the championship for are offering you $1 million a year, that is essentially being fired.
Yeah.
I mean we're not going to offer you a good enough contract that you stay here.
Yeah,
yes.
They don't want you back.
I mean, people always say that. People are like, Trotz didn't get fired. They just didn't come to a contract. Yeah, because they offered him $1 million. Because that's an embarrassment. That is a slap in the face. That may be worse than getting fired. You know, when they just sit there and say, well, we'll give you $1 million. I just won the championship. You know, the championship that everybody in this sport says is the hardest one to win. Yeah, we'll give you $1 million. But Babcock over in Toronto, who doesn't win championships, he gets like $7 million a year. Yeah, we'll give you $1 million. I mean, you know, that is a slap in the face. And that's what he had to deal with. 615-737-1025. More of your calls. C. Mace going to join us in about 30 minutes. What about this home ice thing? The Predators have kind of lost their magic on home ice. Are we worried? Does the home ice thing, where are we on the home ice? Because they need to win at least one at home. So we will get to that coming up next. We are live at K-Bob's Grill and Ale. Again, right here, 21st Avenue South, right by Vandy and Hillsborough Village. Come on out to K-Bob's and register to win a pair of lower-level tickets for tomorrow afternoon's game number 5. Jared and the GM, we are live at K-Bob's with those tickets, so come on out and register. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.